Taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about SNL. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And today, because SNL is still off, we are going to talk about our favorite hosts for the years.
First show of 2019,
This is
what we're doing.
It's been a while.
Right? It's been a minute. Yeah,
we gotta
get back in the saddle here.
Because, I mean, we only skip 1 week as far as you guys are concerned, but we taped the last two episodes we did.
Right, together.
Back to back.
Right, back to
back.
That's another way to say it.
We haven't recorded since, around December 17th, December 18th?
Something like that. I don't know. We're letting you guys behind the curtain a little bit here.
Yeah.
Show you how the sausage is made.
So it's been, two or three weeks since we...
How does it feel being back behind the mic?
Does it feel
familiar?
It feels vaguely familiar. It feels like...
Okay.
You know, because we were in a good groove.
We were,
And
what happened, man? What happened?
I don't know.
What happened to us?
It's all gone to hell. It's all gone to hell. How are your holidays?
Not bad. Not too shabby. Got a nice haul of good stuff.
You did?
Gift cards.
Nice.
Aplenty.
Nice.
And as you may have seen on my Instagram, I got myself a fun little book called Live from New York.
Yeah, Live from New York. It's the big-ass oral history of Saturday Night Live by...
Is that the official title?
Yes. Actually, the official subtitle, The Complete Uncensored History of Saturday Night Live, as told by its stars, writers, and guests. It's by James Andrew Miller and Tom Shales. And this was newly expanded in... updated for SNL's 40th season.
Yes.
Which was a couple of years ago. I actually have both editions of this book.
Whoa.
I don't know when it first came out. It was sometime in the early 2000s.
You have like the Old Testament and the New Testament.
I do. I do.
Very nice.
But I actually got the new one in hardcover a few years ago when it came out. And,
wow.
You haven't gotten to read much of it,
I have not. Like, I've only heard the first one, but it was on audiobooks. So I was listening to it through.
Oh, okay.
Which is, for people who can't read.
Did it have the actual audio from all the actors and writers and stuff?
No. It was like some people just doing their own, the voices of the actors. And
so was
really,
like,
I was enthralled by that.
So when like a Jimmy Fallon quote came along, was somebody doing like a Jimmy Fallon impression?
Yeah, somebody was Fallon-esque. Like, hey, it was great. SNL is awesome. Yeah.
Did they read all of Bill Murray's quotes as Carl from Caddyshack?
No. But
damn
now,
it.
Now that you say that, that's all I can think about. Yeah, it was a good show.
Well, I got into a fight with Chevy backstage. And,
oh, God, that was horrible.
Medium talent. Yeah, what was that?
I don't know. My Bill Murray, Spengler impression is very rusty, I guess.
Spackler, not Spengler.
Spackler.
Spengler is Ghostbusters. Come on, dude.
God.
Oh, dude, you're making us look bad.
This is awful.
Come on, man. I'm
losing all my comedy nerd cred.
You really are.
I really am.
People are going to be like, are you even a nerd?
Yeah, do you even SNL?
You probably go out on dates.
No.
Oh, all right, fine. All right, you're back in the fold.
I still have my nerd credentials.
Yes.
So this episode.
SNL guest hosts.
Guest hosts. So we're doing the same thing that we did for when we were talking about our favorite cast members, where we each made our own list. We came up with our top five and maybe a few honorable mentions.
Yes.
And we're going to run through that back and forth. We'll probably have the same people on some of our lists.
Yeah, there might be some crossovers. This will be interesting.
So should we just dive into it? I mean,
let's dive.
I was saying beforehand, the rule I set for myself, we didn't really even discuss what our ground rule should be. I decided not to do any cast member hosts and ex-cast members.
And I did not heed to that rule.
Because, again, we didn't discuss it.
Right.
I
play it fast and loose.
I just thought about it. I was thinking, it's too easy to put in an ex-cast member there.
Really? You think so? Because they know how the whole...
They know how the
machine runs.
Exactly. They know how the whole apparatus of the show works.
Hmm. All right.
So...
I mean, that's fair enough.
So I decided it was more interesting to do people who weren't regular cast members at any point. But my template for a good host is someone when you hear they're hosting,
right?
They've built up enough goodwill that you hear that and you're like, oh, this person's hosting. That's going to be a good show.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
That's going to be great.
Yeah.
I
mean, that happens sometimes, but like a lot of times they'll have a person there and you'd be like, oh, that person, Let's see how this works out. But sometimes that's good.
Sometimes, but sometimes those people, those real out of left field choices really work.
They surprise you.
I mean, I can think of at least two people offhand, like one that's on my list and one that is in my honorable mentions.
Ooh.
Where you wouldn't necessarily think they'd be wonderful hosts, but they knocked it out of the park.
Okay.
So, right. So we're going to go back and forth.
Yes.
So should we talk about our honorable mentions first?
Do you want to do the honorable mentions? We'll do that last.
Okay, we'll do that last.
We'll do the top five first.
We'll do that last. Okay, honorable. Top five.
So
let me see. Oh. Let me make sure I have my five.
You got your...
Okay. Why don't you do your five? Because I didn't...
All right. So, do you want me to go straight five or...
Yeah, like, or, well, you know, whichever you want to do it.
Okay.
Are you going from the bottom up? Or
yeah, bottom up.
Okay, bottom up.
All right, so my fifth one, number five, I'm going to go ahead and put Miss Tina Fey in there.
Okay.
And nice. That's the only one that doesn't adhere to your...
Your host rule?
Yeah, your crazy rules.
That I decided upon on my own without consulting you?
Yes, that one. You should have...
Okay.
Should have texted me.
So what... You were busy. You were out of town. You were dealing with important stuff. I was like, he doesn't want to hear my little
not
stuff.
Not good enough, man. I'm looking foolish up here. So Tina Fey. I mean, she's just like an amazing. She's just a great writer. I love her comedy. I love the fact that like whenever she writes and says stuff, it's stuff that's very smart, very funny, very dry.
Has a great
point of view. Like some of the, you know, of course the, what has she done? Sarah Palin.
And people forget that when she did Sarah Palin, she was not a regular on the show anymore. She'd been gone for a few years. She was doing 30 Rock.
Yeah. She was off the show, and then Sarah Palin came into our lives, and somebody was like, "Oh, you look like Tina Fey," and then it just dragged her back in like Godfather 3.
Lauren has said that was somebody that basically the audience cast her as. Yeah. As Sarah Palin, because
very much so.
She never, she never really did that many characters when she was on the show. She was basically just head writer and update.
Yeah.
Just. But
oh, that's it?
Yeah, that's it. That's all.
She can't do anything else? She can't run the board?
You know, because apparently doing update is like a job and a half by itself.
That's whatever.
You know, being head writer, I mean, she was pulling her weight, let me say that.
Right. Sarah Palin, that was an amazing thing she did. Of course, one of my favorite sketches, maybe of all SNL history, maybe we'll do an episode of that some other time. But the Meet Your Second Wife sketch, I mean,
I love that sketch so much.
I'm pretty sure she wrote that, right? All right.
She and Amy Poehler were hosting,
right?
And I feel like they at least had to have a hand in it. I mean, because the point of view is so well, it's so pointed, it's so biting.
Yeah,
that sketch.
Yeah, I mean, guys, if you ever go on YouTube, look up the Meet Your Second Wife sketch. It's one of the best.
It's an all time great. It's an instant classic, as far as I'm concerned. It was a game show where Amy Poehler and Tina Fey they were hosting. I think they were hosting as themselves.
Yeah. Well, no.
Tina Fey had a character in Amy Poehler.
No, Amy Poehler had a fake name. Tina Fey was like, "And I'm Tina Fey."
Yeah. Okay. and it had these three guys on, and they brought on. The women that they would be married to in the future.
Yeah.
Except they were all young girls.
Like young.
Disturbingly young, because the joke was they're going to be their trophy second wives.
Yes, exactly.
And,
But now they were like 8-year-olds.
Yes.
The gasps of horror you heard from the audience where it was like,
when that first young girl came out.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, and there was. And like I think one was his daughter's best friend or something. And it's like, oh yeah, she loves it.
She loves it. You hang out with her.
And then I think a third person they brought out was Cecily Strong playing like a college student.
Right.
And the husband who was wise to it by now, he's like, oh, well, that's not so bad. And they were like, no, but she's going to get pregnant and you're going to end
up with the baby. My God. That sketch was phenomenal.
And we had Leslie Jones as one of the first wives, and Leslie Jones can just do that you're dead to me stare.
Yeah, that just evil like stare. It's pretty. The sketch was tremendous.
Yeah, and the other joke in there I also love was they know how the marriages to the first wives are going to end.
Right.
And Adie Bryant played a first wife who died in like a kayaking accident.
Right.
And at the end of the game show, they win a kayaking trip. And she's like, I know I shouldn't, but it just sounds like so much fun.
It's a great sketch. It's an all-time favorite. Five stars.
Yeah, okay. I cannot argue with that choice at all.
And another thing I like that she got a little blowback from is that when the Charlottesville thing happened, that Weekend Update sheet cake sketch she kind of did, where she was just like screaming and eating a sheet cake. I mean, I got what she was doing. I understood the blowback, but I mean, you can't deny it was like a very, I thought it was pretty smartly written.
She talked about that, Tina Fey talked about that on David Letterman's Netflix show, My Next Guest Needs No Introduction.
Right, yeah, she did. But
David Letterman was complimenting on her on it, and he's saying, like, I thought that was a wonderful piece of writing. And she was like, thank you. Here's what was wrong with it.
Yeah.
And I really admired that, I mean, even though, like, somebody that, who's been in comedy as long as Letterman, he was like, that was a spectacular piece. And she was like, and she showed no hesitation of being like,
right,
glad you like it. It didn't work. It should have gone somewhere else, and it didn't do that. So.
Right. I mean, I understood, like, how she owned up to the fact, like, it was slightly tone deaf, yeah, you're right. She did say at the end she wished she kind of rewritten a few things to make it a little bit more sharper. I mean, I got what she did, and I understood the blowback, but at the same time, I think her intentions were good.
Yeah,
and
I
see what she was trying to do, and it was a good sketch, and I dug it. But
yeah, me too.
You know, a lot
me
of people too. Were not great about it. But, I mean, aside from that, she's done, like, tons of other stuff. She's a great performer and even a better writer, so I put Tina Fey as my number five.
Thumbs up to Tina Fey. We love you, Tina.
Yeah.
My number five choice. This is somebody who's become pretty much a de facto cast member. So, I put Alec Baldwin.
Ooh, okay.
On there because he's one of the big time hosts. Let's see. Most other people I wrote down how many times they posted. Alec Baldwin. He's hosted like 15 times, I think.
I think it was something. 17.
17? Okay.
I believe.
He's the record holder for he's hosted more than anyone else.
He's in the teens, definitely.
And, I mean, if you include appearances on top of that, he's far and away.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's the guy who's playing Trump. He's been playing Trump for a couple years now.
He has.
And
there's other sketches where he's in now where he's just not, like there was that one last time where he was like a...
With the cops at the bar.
Yeah, the cops at the bar. He was just there.
And that's kind of a rarity nowadays. Nowadays, he just comes on and he does Trump, and that's it. And they haven't had him actually host in a little while.
He trumps it up and goes, that's it.
Actually, I think it's like all the appearances with Trump, that made me rank him a little lower than
I
would have otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, you know, because, you know, he's in the news all the time. You have to talk about him all the time. So you feel like you have to put him in sketches all the time. It's a lot.
But it's a little exhausting.
Yes. But, I mean, I think even he knows that. Even they know that.
And so. I think that's probably why he's scaling back his appearances as Trump.
No, wisely so.
And, I mean, because, as we've said before on the show, nobody expected that Trump thing to go the distance.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, they thought, oh, he's running. We're going to get a few good months out of his campaign because it's going to be a hilarious train wreck, which it was. But then he won.
It's a joke that went too far.
And, oh, my God. And the whole damn country's paying for it.
Oh.
But outside of Trump, I mean, Alec Baldwin's legacy as an SNL host is
the Canteen Boy sketch.
The Canteen Boy sketch. He played Saddam Hussein. He played.
Oh, that's right.
He played Tony Bennett. I always loved it when he did Tony Bennett.
Right.
You know, I like things that are great. It's a fantastic. I mean, he obviously loves Tony Bennett, and he does a great Tony Bennett. It's just a great, wonderful Tony Bennett impression.
Great to be here.
Great to be here. You know, he's kind of the guy who, like, decoded how to do a Tony Bennett impression, I think.
Yeah, very much so.
He did Canteen Boy. He did Charles Nelson Reilly at the Actors Studio.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which I loved, you know. He did two that we talked about in our Christmas episode. He did Sweaty Balls and the Santa's Elves with the Glengarry Glenn Ross.
Right, right.
He's done Al Pacino. He's done Al Pacino.
Oh.
I think it was on the... I think it might have been on the Joe Pesci show.
Wait, that's right. Wait, I thought he did that was De Niro he was doing.
I've read that he did Pacino. I don't remember where he did Pacino now.
All right.
I
just one of those good.
I
fellas.
Just wrote down in my notes he did Pacino. I wasn't expecting this cross.
I'm sorry. No, I'm engaging you in conversation.
Well, don't.
Wow.
But that's bless you.
Thank you.
And that's but the, you know, that's Alec Baldwin. Everybody knows Alec Baldwin's great on SNL. I mean, and he was so good on SNL, it gave him a whole nother career.
Yeah,
because he went on to do 30 Rock with Tina Fey.
It's weird how like people don't know, because he started off as a dramatic actor,
mm-hmm.
and then like I guess he just fell into it. Like people were like, oh, he could do comedy too, and like now he's. Probably more. I mean, he still does drama, but he's kind of more well known for his comedic side.
It showed us this whole goofy side that people didn't know he had, because when he first became famous, it was like Hunt for Red October, I think, was his big breakthrough, right?
I would say, yeah, because Glengarry Glen Ross, he wasn't really. Yeah, maybe it was Hunt for Red October.
Well, Hunt for Red October is definitely before Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh, okay.
Well, you're looking him up on IMDb now.
Yes,
aren't
you? I am.
Okay. But, I mean, He did Hunt for Red October. I know he didn't do the sequels because he was doing, I think, a production of Cat on the Hot Tin Roof, if I remember. He was doing some stage production.
Really? Why?
And then he refused to be in the sequels because I guess it was a schedule conflict, and that's Harrison Ford stepped in. And Baldwin first hosted, I think, around 1990.
Sounds about right.
Or something like that. I think he was on, I know, when Phil Hartman was on the show, because there was some soap opera parody they did where whenever they played like dramatic music, the two characters would be overcome.
Oh, right, and then kiss. Yes,
and,
I remember
and
that.
He, and he, and the kicker was like he and Phil Hartman like kissed each other, fall on the mouth.
Yes, I remember that. Oh wow, yeah, and I remember seeing that as a kid. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, and you know this is like late 80s, early 90s. This is not a time when you're seeing same sex kissing. I mean, you still don't see a whole lot of it on TV.
Not a lot. Yeah, like, but usually, I mean, I've seen it's played up for comedy a lot. Like, I mean, the SNL still does that. Like, two dudes kissing is hilarious, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you don't see it too much, too often.
Right.
Like, not on, like, you know, broadcast. Like, maybe cable or something you see.
Did you, speaking of two dudes kissing.
Go on. Beetlejuice. Would you say that was his big one?
I didn't say that, but yeah, he had a significant part. I was thinking like leading man.
She's having a baby. Working Girl. Oh no, he didn't have a small part.
He was like Melanie Griffith's boyfriend in that.
Yeah, right? Yeah. All right. Yeah, I guess Hunt for Red October was the big one.
Yeah, that was like his breakthrough as the leading man, is what I meant.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, SNL showed that he was so funny. It gave him this whole second career, and then Tina Fey offered the part of Jack Donaghy to him when she was doing 30 Rock, and he accepted. Right. They did 30 Rock for, I don't know, what, 7 years maybe?
Yeah, it was a good run.
And, yeah, like you were saying, he's known primarily for comedy now, I think.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, people don't see him as a dramatic actor anymore.
Comedy and getting really angry with people for parking spaces.
Or just getting angry in general.
He
has a lot of rage.
Yeah.
Hulk smash.
Yeah, yeah. Those are our number fives, the cast of 30 Rock, Tina Fey and Alec Baldwin. Yeah,
sounds good.
So. Who's your number four?
Number four. I'm looking at this now. This list now. This might switch places with my number three. This is all
three and four are neck and neck.
Yeah, neck and neck. But I will go with. Steve Martin, number four.
Steve Martin. Okay, great.
But I mean, he's been there since pretty much since the beginning, right?
He came on really early.
Right, yeah.
And let's see, I have...
Do you have him on yours?
I have him on my list,
what?
Yes. I put him at number two.
Oh, all right.
So I guess I like him two more than you.
Oh, boy.
I have... He's hosted 15 times. Last, according as near as I could find, was in January 2009.
It's been a while. It's been a minute.
It's been that surprised me. I mean, I was looking at the SNL wiki that I discovered a few weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
And that can be a little out of date at times, but
okay.
But
it seems about right. I don't remember seeing him hosting for been a while.
I mean, he's made other appearances on the show.
Yeah,
he's made cameos and things, but he was on the show so much in the early days. A lot of people think he was a cast member.
Yeah, very much. I mean, the King Tut sketch, Theodoric of York.
Yep.
The Fenstruck brothers. I mean,
right. Two wild and crazy guys.
Yeah.
He
was in, I think, the first Toonces, The Driving Cat.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, which is, I still think of that sometimes, where it's just the whole premise is just ridiculous about, like, oh, he can drive a car, just not very well.
Right.
And he just drives off a
ravine. And they always show the exact same footage of the car going over the cliff and exploding.
Yeah, Toons is, look out. And it's just...
Yeah, I remember
it didn't take
Toons's.
Much to make a young Darren happy. There's a car going over a cliff.
One sketch of his that I thought was wonderful, which I don't think gets the love it deserves, was when he played James Bond.
I wrote that down too.
James Bond in Bullets Aren't Cheap.
Yeah.
And I rewatched the sketch not too long ago. They maybe reran it at one of the 10 o'clock ones, but it was the premise was James Bond, he's being called out for all his extravagant spending on his overseas missions.
Right.
And so he had to go on vacation, but he had to pay for it himself. So James Bond is trying to still live this extravagant lifestyle, but do it as frugally as possible.
Yeah, because like he asked the waiter how much, like, he wants a martini, chicken, that's third. And he's like, oh, wait, how much is that?
Ooh.
What do you have on draft?
Yeah. Yeah. And Sting comes
Sting
on
plays
as Gold Sting.
Gold Sting.
Which, that was hilarious. And he's romancing Jan Hooks and Victoria Jackson.
Yes.
And I remember the closing shot was... He's just like poured some champagne for him and Jan Hooks, and she's like, I don't want that, James. I want you. And then they start making out, and then the camera just zooms in on his hand, and you see him pouring the champagne back into the bottle and putting the plastic cork in the top to save it.
It's a great sketch. But yeah, it's like, I think they only did that once. They never really went back to it.
It was just a one-time thing sometime in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, another thing he did, which I love, is, of course, we talked about it in the Christmas episode, the Christmas Wish.
That's a great thing.
Yeah, again, it's like you don't see that too often on SNL, where it's just one guy or one performer just like talking to the camera, or just a sketch of one performer, but it's still really funny.
Right, particularly when it's the host.
Yeah.
But I mean, you give Steve Martin 3 minutes of airtime, he's gonna bring it.
Give him carte blanche. He will make magic.
Another thing I wanted to mention for Steve was. He did a great intro called Not Gonna Phone It In Tonight.
Yeah, not gonna phone it in tonight. I'm not gonna...
It was... The premise was... This was in the early 90s. It was when, like, I know Chris Rock was on, Rob Schneider, those...
Yeah, Farley.
Farley, that generation. And the premise was, like, the show had been going on for 15 years or whatever by that point, and right. Steve Martin was like... Oh, we have a sketch. Is it on cue cards? Then why are you coming to me with this?
Yeah,
like he was just doing the show by rote because he was such an old hand at it.
He'd become jaded,
and exactly, he'd become jaded. And then Chris Farley comes by with like a photo of him with the original cast, and he's like, "Oh, this is when the show meant something. This is when I still cared." And it goes into this musical number, and it turns into this big extravaganza where they're going through the studio, and everyone's talking about how they're going to try harder this week than normally.
It's such a great sketch, because it's very, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess it's kind of, I can't think of the right word. But it's like very self-aware, like, they're maybe mocking the fact that, like, maybe Steve Martin actually felt that way during that time, where he felt kind of jaded by it, or maybe... Like the news had probably kept saying, like, oh, SNL, they're just phoning it in.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live, they always go through that cycle of criticism where it's, you know, oh, the show used to be good, but it's horrible now.
Right, right.
And, oh, if the show is good again, it's not horrible like it was the last couple of years. And then the cycle restarts.
Right.
And they've probably been doing that ever since the second year,
would assume. Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So, like, the fact that they came up with this kind of opening that's, like, very self-aware and self-referential is, I dug it. I thought it was really great.
Yeah, yeah. And I love how they had the other cast members coming in, too. I remember Chris Farley saying, like, not going to get liquored up tonight. Right. And, you know, talking about, like, after the show, I'll drink till I spew, but tonight I'm clear-headed for you.
And there was one point where the union guys were...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're going to move our fat union asses tonight.
We're
going to
move our fat union asses tonight.
And it was, like, real stagehands.
Yeah,
real
like
crew,
union guys.
Crew members, which was funny. And I remember Phil Hartman saying, like, oh, I normally hide behind these wigs and these makeup, but tonight they're going to see the real Phil Hartman shine through. And Steve Martin just goes, I wouldn't do that, Phil. Okay.
Okay. And Steve Martin. Maybe I should have put him up more.
Yeah.
But, like, another Steve Martin thing, it was just kind of weird sketch, but I guess it was a beauty to it. It was where him and Gilda Radner kind of
when they're dancing.
Yeah, they kind of like saw each other across the room, and then they just go off into this dancing.
And there's no dialogue. It's just them dancing to the music, and it's very comedic dancing. But.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I remember watching that. Be kind of like, oh, there's no jokes. That's it. Just dancing and sort of funny comedic dancing. And I mean, I don't know. It stuck with me for a while.
It re-aired that the week that Gilded Radner died.
Oh, wow.
And Phil Hartman, just by sheer chance, happened to be hosting the show that week.
Oh, okay.
And he came out for his monologue, and he says, I'd like to show you something that I did on this stage however many years ago with Gilda Radner.
Okay.
And you could tell he was choked up. His voice, like, cracks when he's introducing it.
Oh,
and
wow.
They just show this, and they come back, and he says, the main things I remember are how young I looked and how good she was. And it was
wow.
like, thank you, Gilda. And the amazing thing was you didn't really see any other hint of that the rest of that night. He Steve Martin gave a wonderful performance.
Right.
And Gilda Radner had passed away, I think maybe that day or the day before.
Wow.
That it was that close.
Ooh.
And it was... that's amazing.
Okay. All right. That's, well, maybe. Yeah. Maybe
that really shows what it. I mean, I say number two.
Okay. But, fine. Maybe he's number two now. It's I'm pushing him up.
But you know, speaking of Gilda Radner, you were telling me
before
we started recording, you watched the special about Gilda Radner on CNN.
Yes. Yes. Very good. I believe it's on probably streaming now too. But it's called Love Gilda. It's just basically about the. Just Gilda Radner. They also include in it some notes she wrote from her, private diary and whatnot. Just like kind of notes she wrote to herself.
So it's like a biographical thing.
Yeah, yeah. Or, okay. It's very much. I mean, they had SNL, like former SNL cast members, read the notes like on camera. Like they had Amy Poehler read some notes. Maya Rudolph, Bill Hader read some stuff.
Cool.
Melissa McCarthy, but then like they talked to her friends and family, of course, about her life and growing up in Detroit and. You know, how her father passed away at, like, an early age and, like, what influence it had over her and, you know, her kind of rise.
And she was actually, like, the first cast member hired.
She was the very first cast member, yes.
Yeah, which is amazing to think. I mean, before Belushi, before Aykroyd, before Chevy Chase, before anybody,
Gilda. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, you just watch it and you're just like, oh, wow. You just see it. Like, she has just, like, kind of warmth and likability that just shines through. And, of course, just amazing talent, just... Like, she could do, like, really physical stuff. She can do over-the-top stuff. But at the same time, she could also, like, rein it in and be kind of a little bit more quieter and do something more heartfelt and sweet.
Yeah.
She was incredible.
Yeah. I've got to check that out on the streaming.
Yeah, check it out, guys. So, Love Gilda.
Love Gilda on CNN.
Yes.
So go on the CNN app or the website
and
check that out.
The Comedy News Network.
It's Darren Patterson approved. It's got a little... headshot of Darren in the corner, give him a thumbs up.
That's right. It might not be legal to do that, but I'm going to, let's not get the law involved.
Yeah. Okay? So let's see. We should move on to our number.
You didn't do your four.
I didn't do my number four. My number four was a Mr. Justin Timberlake.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Does this surprise you?
It does. I mean, I don't know how you felt about the Timberlake. Like, I don't know if you liked him or not.
I enjoyed the Timberlake.
Huh.
And he is not somebody that I would be any kind of fan of if it wasn't for SNL.
Were you not an NSYNCer?
Well, I mean, NSYNC they came out in, what was it, the mid to late 90s, right?
Yeah, late 90s.
So I'm like in my mid 20s then.
Okay, so.
So I'm not too into the boy bands.
So yes. No?
No.
Oh, all right, I'm sorry.
No,
I thought you were going to say yes.
I was all about the Backstreet Boys, damn it.
I'm all about Menudo.
I mean, even Menudo and like New Kids on the Block, they weren't my thing.
No?
No.
Wow.
Because I was like in my late teens when New Kids on the Block happened.
So. All right. You could be a teenager and like New Kids.
I go back to the Monkees, damn it.
Wow.
They're my boy band.
Wow.
All Mickey, right. Mike, Peter, and Davey.
Three cheers. All right. I tip my hat to you, sir.
So those were my boy bands. So I wasn't like when Justin Timberlake comes on to host the show. He's hosted 5 times, by the way, and he's been a musical guest at another couple other times on top of that, and I think made some other appearances. But I mean, he came on, and the man's talent is just undeniable.
It's pretty up there.
And he's become one of those hosts who also has like recurring bits. He has like, you know, Bring It On Down to Omeletteville.
Yeah, yeah.
He was in the Barry Gibb talk show.
Barry Gibb, yeah.
Yeah, it was
him and
he
Jimmy
played
Fallon.
Robin Gibb.
Yes. He didn't say like his thing was he never talked much.
He was not verbal, but he was just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but it was really good and of course, Dick in a Box.
Of course,
which we
Dick in a Box. Yeah.
Last episode.
My God,
which thing is a classic, and they've come back to it, and they've returned to those characters a couple times.
Yeah.
And I mean, whenever you see Justin Timberlake host, you know it's going to be a good show.
Yeah, I actually feel the same way you do, because like when he said he was going to first host it, I was like, really? Because I mean, he's just known for music. I think up until that point,
he was just the NSYNC guy who went solo.
Yeah,
and I don't know if he'd really broken it through yet.
Yeah, I mean, I knew he'd done acting in like, you know, Mickey Mouse Club and stuff like that, but as far as
dated the Britney Spears,
dated the Spears, but then like as far as like comedic stuff went, like I don't think he had really done that much, or just regular acting.
Yeah,
because this is way before like, you know, Social Network and Love Guru and whatever.
And
whatever
he's really good in Social Network, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
I love that movie, and he's really good
in it. It's a great movie. And so like,
I have not seen The Love Guru.
Yep, you're probably better off. I haven't seen it either.
I think I've seen the beginning of it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to trash it without having seen it, but I've heard enough people say it's trash to know, all right, if enough people say it, it's not good. It's probably not good.
You realize we're probably going to be reviewing a some skip week during the summer.
Oh, what? Right? No. Yes.
Probably.
Oh. Well,
we're gonna get hard up for material when the show's not on.
We gotta. Let's do any other movie, but
like around about July or August, Love Guru is gonna be sounding pretty good to us.
Oh, gee whiz. Oh no. Whoa.
I'm not saying when this is gonna happen, but it's probably gonna happen. I gotta break it to you.
Oh God, it's creeping up on me like a land shark. All right, but yeah. So when I saw him doing the sketches, and I was like, oh wow, he's like likable, and he's hitting his marks, and he's like feeling.
Is that how you judge a host by how much they hit their marks?
Like, oh wow, he hit it. All right,
you're just looking at the little tape marks on the stage.
He is ready for prime time. I mean, I don't know. He was way better than I thought he'd be. So I was like, all right,
he exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, so I was like, all right, this guy's got something.
He's really good. He's a really charismatic. He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
I've come to appreciate his music even.
What?
Yeah. The Suit and Tie. That's a great song.
Ooh, look at you.
What's the song about?
The one about Britney, or
no, not Cry Me a River.
You know the name that
I know. I know that song. I'm not.
Dude, I am aghast right now.
But what's the one about dancing? Just dance. It's not called dancing.
Can't fight the feeling. The one on it. The Trolls movie, right?
Yes.
Can't stop the feeling.
Can't fight the feeling.
Yeah.
Don't stop believing.
Yeah. Feelings. Nothing but feelings.
Yeah.
I feel like making love. One of those.
Yeah.
Feelings are involved.
Anyway, that's a good song.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Cool.
So, so obviously I'm not a huge Justin Timberlake fan. Yeah. Nearly said Justin Bieber. Came this close to saying Justin Bieber.
Whoa, dude. You be careful, man. You'll have the Bieber hype.
The Beliebers.
You. The Belieber. Is that what they're called?
They're called Beliebers.
How do you know that?
I think I guess I watched his Comedy Central roast.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, also because like he went to Anne Frank's house and he was like, oh, if Anne Frank was around today, she'd be a Belieber.
Oh,
he got a lot of flack about that.
Oh, Christ almighty. Yeah, I remember.
Jeez. By saying, yeah, this young girl who was killed in the Holocaust, she would have been a fan of mine.
She would have definitely loved my shit. Out December 15th. Check it.
You know, because that's your big lesson when you go to Anne Frank's house, how it relates to you.
Hashtag blessed. Prayer hands. New album comes out. Watch me on the, People Choice Awards. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Timberlake. So that was my number four, Timberlake.
That's a great choice. All right.
Timberlake.
All right, so my number three, which I almost made number four, but I think I made the right call. I made number three. I'm going to go with Mr. John Goodman.
Okay.
He's like a solid actor, and we all know he's a great actor, but he's also like super good in sketches. Like, he's one of those guys. He kind of goes in between like comedy and drama.
Yeah.
Much like Alec Baldwin. Yeah. Like, I don't think he's really known for one more than the other. But
I'd say it's about even.
It's like yeah,
maybe comedy just a little bit more because of the Roseanne thing. And
yeah, that's true.
I mean, because he did, but even Roseanne had like a lot of dramatic moments and stuff. So
that's true. Yeah, and he's great at that too.
I actually saw John Goodman when I was about 13. I took my very first trip to New York with my dad.
Okay.
My dad was going on a business trip to New York, and he took me with him. It was my very first time in the city.
Oh, nice.
And we saw the Broadway musical Big River,
which is adapted
from the adventures of Huckleberry Finn.
Okay.
And John Goodman played Huck's dad.
Wow.
And he has this, there's this great show-stopping number that he does called Government. with an apostrophe in the middle.
Government. Of course.
And just talk about...
That's how you spell it.
It's a song all about how the government is like keeping men like him down.
Wow,
and,
this is woke. What is this? What is this?
This is like 1986. This is very woke.
Damn, all right.
And he has this great bit in there where he stops singing and he starts just basically yelling. And he's like, oh, God damn. And then he just goes back into the song. Without missing a beat, or just you, goddamn government, you do. It was hilarious.
Wow,
and nobody knew who John Goodman was at this point because Roseanne wasn't
right.
a thing yet. But
I mean, he was in Raising Arizona at that point, right?
Wasn't he? Yeah, yeah.
Okay, but he still wasn't like a huge.
He wasn't. I wouldn't say he was like nationally known or anything.
Yeah, all right. I guess.
Or at least I didn't know him because I wasn't watching Raising Arizona at like 13 or 14.
No, all right. But yeah, I guess that makes sense. I guess Roseanne's the thing that really. Put him on the map.
I would say.
But yeah, I mean, as far as like sketches go, he's done like amazing stuff on SNL. Like when the whole Lewinsky thing went happened, he played Linda Tripp.
Yep.
And
they brought him back constantly. I mean, it was kind of like the Alec Baldwin as Trump of its day.
Yeah.
Or Tina Fey as Palin.
Yeah, yeah. He just kept coming back and he was just like a really great comedic sketch guy. And maybe he played De Niro, I forget. But also another thing I found out in, what was it? I mean, we'll probably talk about this a little bit on the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
But he tried out for SNL back in 1980.
Wow.
He did.
I don't think I knew that. This was the first time they were replacing the cast.
Yes.
After all the originals left.
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about that next episode or something. But yeah, he tried out, got beat out by Joe Piscopo.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a...
I know, right? That's just...
And he would have been a young guy. He probably would have been, what, in his 20s or 30s, early 30s?
Yeah, he was youngish. Like, I remember seeing a picture of him wearing, like looking really young and actually kind of cut. And, like, he's wearing, like, a Black Flag t-shirt or something like that. But,
wow.
Yeah, and he...
John Goodman was hip.
He was. Like, he ever... This is something else when I was, like, doing the list. I was looking up, like, YouTube videos and stuff. Have you ever seen, like, his old, like, commercial? He did, like, a ton of commercials back in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen his old... Check out... Like John Goodman commercials 80s. There's one where he did for Foot Locker where he's just like, he has like this kind of feathered blonde hair, but he's like really young looking and he's like, he's actually in really good shape. He's like, looks like Thor almost.
Wow.
It like kind of took me back. Like, whoa, that's Goodman. He's fucking,
I remember
he's a beefcake.
He was in Revenge of the Nerds.
He was
the football coach.
That's right.
That inspired all the jocks to like go raid the nerd's house and trash it.
Yes.
And
you just got
so really, really, he made the whole climax of that movie happen.
Yes, that's all him.
That's you know, and Robert Carradine comes out and he gives that big inspirational speech at the end about how he's a nerd, and then the woman that he raped is like, hey, you're cool. I'm in love with the nerd.
I'm cool
because it was like 1984, and apparently that was okay.
Yeah, that movie doesn't hold up.
No, it does.
It does not.
It does. Not.
But yeah, my three. John Goodman. He's
John Goodman.
Solid actor.
And we should probably mention he even took over a role from another SNL alum because he did Blues Brothers 2000.
Yes.
With Mr. Jim Belushi.
Now that movie might be in our
summertime. with Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Jim Belushi didn't want to do it.
Yes. Oh, he didn't? That's what happened?
I think they offered the movie to Belushi and then he was like, no. And I mean, can you imagine?
Why not?
They covered Blues Brothers 2000 on How Did This Get Made a few weeks or a few months back, and apparently, they offered it to Jim Belushi, and Belushi was like, "No, I don't want to do that." And then
John stepped in.
And then they stepped in for John Goodman.
Wow! But doesn't Jim Belushi already do like a bluesy thing on the side?
He's done like appearances at like the blues
House of Blues,
House of Blues.
So why didn't he just do this for his brother?
Maybe he just didn't want to do it for posterity, maybe he just looks at it as a different. I mean, it's not like they're literally playing John Goodman's or John Belushi's character,
right?
But Yeah.
All right. Well, whatevs.
Whatevs.
All right. So, yeah, John Goodman on my number
John
three.
John Goodman. So he was your number three. My number three, Mr. Christopher Walken.
Ooh.
Yeah.
He's my number two. So
he's your number two?
He is my number
okay,
two.
Okay. All right. So let's...
it'd be weird if you had the same number one, but let's
well, let's find out.
Let's find out. Ooh.
This is suspenseful now. We know who both of our number twos are now, so we may have the same person as our number one.
My heart is beating a mile a minute.
Suspenseful, isn't it, guys?
All right. Let's talk Let's talk and walking.
Christopher Walken, I think it's amazing because he's one of those guys you wouldn't... If you looked at his career up until he hosted SNL, you wouldn't necessarily think he would make a good Saturday Night Live host.
Yeah, he doesn't do any comedy until that point.
About the only thing I can think of was that he had that cameo in Annie Hall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As right. He was Diane Keaton's brother, and he's like driving Woody Allen, I think, back to the airport, and he just talks about like, oh, sometimes I think about just running this car off the road.
Yes.
And and Woody Allen's like, I'm due back on the planet Earth. But I mean, it's just a wonderful deadpan performance, and I mean, if you haven't seen Annie Hall, you should. Just
it's a great film.
It's a great
film. I mean, you know, Woody Allen, private life aside,
Woody Allen is certainly regarded as problematic at best, but I mean, I don't think that changes that he did some wonderful, wonderful comedies.
Yeah, Annie Hall's a great film. But yeah, Walken, I was thinking about when you think about Christopher Walken, I'm kind of reminded of this thing that, Leslie Nielsen said when he hosted SNL years ago, he said basically he's surprised that he had this, you know, career in comedy because he's a serious actor, come from a dramatic background, but somehow when he says unfunny things in an unfunny way, they come out funny.
Yeah,
somehow, and I think like that applies to Christopher Walken as well.
I would agree with that.
Like he kind of, I don't know if it's maybe his face or his eyes or the way he looks, but he doesn't do anything really comedically that big. He just kind of says things in his voice, but it comes out hilarious somehow.
And his rhythms, his vocal rhythms, are just so uniquely his own.
That might be it too.
It's just very distinctive.
I mean, like when Jay Moore was able to do that impression of him, I was whoa, that's spot on.
And I mean, he's kind of like William Shatner in that regard. It was like nobody sounds like William Shatner. Nobody really sounds like Christopher Walken,
right?
Unless they're doing an impression,
right?
It's just Christopher Walken.
Once Jay Moore did it, everybody does it now.
Because he was the guy who unlocked it. But he's been in so many classic sketches. I'll just run through them quickly. Cowbell.
I mean, just Cowbell alone.
Cowbell alone.
I got a fever.
Colonel Angus.
Colonel Angus. It's a simple premise, but damn it if it ain't.
A favorite of mine was where he was the guy in the apartment and Tim Meadows was the census taker. Do you remember this one?
I kind of...
Tim Meadows comes around, he's doing the U.S. Census thing, and he's like, "Hey, you haven't responded to the mail-in census. Could we just run through it right here?"
Oh, right.
And he's like, "So how many people do you have living here in this house?" And he's like, "Well, there's me, there's my wife, and his wife's a bobcat." And he's like, "We have several candy bars." And he's like, "Well, you can't really count candy bars on the U.S. census." And I mean, it's just incredibly odd, but it's very, very funny.
Yeah, he's an odd... It's just, again, the way he says it, it just comes out funny. Like, if anybody else said what he said in their regular voice, it wouldn't be as funny.
There's
just something about him that's just, like, hilarious.
He did the Continental, which I know we've
the
talked
Continental,
about
yeah. And before. Again, another sketch where it's just him staring in a camera, and somehow that whole sketch is hilarious.
Yep.
One man makes that whole sketch go.
And that's based on an actual TV show. There was an actual TV show
called The
Continental. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought it was just some weird thing.
It's like this weird show from the 50s, I think.
Huh.
So, and it was like shot like that. I've never seen a real episode of The Continental, but I've read that it was an actual show.
The more you know.
Yeah. Da, 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 da. Ed Glosser, Trivial Psychic, I think we've talked about.
Oh, where it's like...
Where it's parodying his part in... what was the movie where he played a psychic? The Dead Zone.
Oh, yes.
But the twist was he sees visions of the future, but they're visions that can not help anyone.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, you're going to leave this thing in a cab. You're gonna get an ice cream headache. You're going to...
But it will go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah, that was...
Don't you understand? You're wasting coffee. it was the coffee they left in the cab.
Oh, right.
I mean, he's Christopher Walken, he has hosted 7 times.
Yeah, hasn't done it recently.
Last hosted April 2008, over 10 years ago.
What?
That's outrageous.
What's he doing
now?
He
needs to come back. We are overdue for Christopher Walken to reappear on SNL.
Hashtag it, guys.
I cannot.
We are overdue for Christopher Walken to appear on SNL.
I cannot believe this.
It's been a minute. Yeah, it felt like it's been a while since when you mentioned it. It's like, oh, yeah.
I can only, because surely they must have asked him sometime in the last decade, right? Because he was one of their go-tos, like Alec Baldwin.
He was, yeah. Was. But I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Walken knows when the time is right.
Yeah, I guess. But I mean, they're crying out for more Walken.
We are. We are.
We are dangerously Christopher Walken deficient in this country.
We are walking a tightrope.
We would not be in the mess we're in today if Christopher Walken had hosted SNL more in the last 10 years.
Are you blaming Christopher Walken for the event of 2016?
I am not blaming him. I am crediting him for immediately improving the state of this country when he hosts SNL.
I can't. All right, I can't.
Chris Walken.
I can't argue with that.
Can save us. That's help going us. Out on help us, Chris Walken. You're our only hope.
That's beautiful, man.
He nearly played Han Solo, you know.
He did. He was up for it. It was him.
He was like one of the final candidates for Han Solo.
Like, I mean, I just know Nick Nolte was from that old Patton Oswalt joke.
Right.
Like, God damn it, Chewbacca.
But don't you want to look in on the parallel universe where Christopher Walken was Han Solo?
I kind of do. Like, I
want to see what they're up to.
Like, Chewie. Get into
Chewie.
Get into Falcon.
You have a hood at the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, yeah.
They did a sketch with the Star Wars auditions.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kevin Spacey was doing his Christopher Walken impression. He's like, yeah, you know. Kevin Spacey, another problematic.
Gee, what? Oof.
Maybe I should just. We have a bell here in the studio. Maybe I should just ring a bell when the name comes up as somebody who's now problematic.
So yeah.
Kevin Spacey. That's the problematic bell.
I like it. Oh, we got ourselves a nice new feature on this podcast. Hot damn.
So when Kevin Spacey. Damn it.
What happened?
Damn it, I broke the bell.
Oh, Kevin Spacey, you ruin everything.
Wow.
When Kevin Spacey.
The bell was so horrified by Kevin Spacey that the little knob stayed depressed after I rang it.
I'm not even going to touch that.
So Kevin Spacey did a little impression of Christopher Walken as Han Solo.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'll spare you my Christopher Walken impression. But
it was good. But yeah, Walken, number Walken. Solid number two.
Always amazing. And again, I think doing SNL gave him more of a career in comedies. He's been in comedies like The Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, Wedding Crasher. What else has he done? He's done others. Oh, I forgot it.
Okay. Other comedies, though.
Yeah, others. I'm going to look up other comedies.
Okay.
But while I look up other comedies, I guess I'll do my number one. And if it's the same as yours, I will. I don't know what. I'll lose my mind.
I feel like there's somebody who's been kind of conspicuous in their absence on this list so far. So I would be very surprised if we don't have the same person. Should we say it at the same time?
Do you want to?
Let's try it.
All right. One, two, three.
Tom Hanks.
God
damn it!
What? Did we blow that speaker?
We did.
Sorry,
I'm
Frank.
I'm sure we did.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Hanks, you gotta put him up there.
Undeniable. he
Wow, those lines are really flaring up there.
I know.
Sorry again, Frank.
They're going back. I probably don't have the...
take it out of my paycheck.
...dials adjusted correctly.
Good boy.
But, Tom Hanks.
Let's gush about Hanks.
How can you not love Tom Hanks? You're like, as an American, you're legally required to love Tom Hanks.
Damn
right?
Straight, yeah. It's in the bylaws.
It should be in the Constitution.
As well it should. I mean, if you want, what do you call it? Like recurring characters, he has them. I mean,
you got Mr. Short-Term Memory. We got The Girl Watchers with John Lovitz. We got the What's the Deal? Where they're all comedians and they're imitating Jerry Seinfeld.
Right. Sabra Price is Right.
You, me, Gotito. David S. Pumpkins.
Yeah, that really took off. I did not see that coming.
Which, we might have said before, neither one of us is like really on board the David S. Pumpkins train.
Yeah, I mean,
it was a perfectly fine sketch, but I don't really understand why it went viral or why.
Yeah, it was.
Everybody loved it as much as they did.
Yeah, but like they sold a costume of it. And it's like, really?
They did an animated Halloween special.
It's a sketch
with David S. Pumpkins.
It's a sketch that came on twice. Really? You're gonna like, all right. But it was the Wayne's World sketch where he was
Aerosmith's roadie.
Yeah, he was Garth.
Sibilance.
Yes,
yeah, Sibilance.
I can't go.
Sibilance.
Every time I do a mic check, I always have to say Sibilance.
Yes, Sibilance. You've done that at shows.
Yes, very many times.
Like the first show we hosted together, we did a Sibilance to test the mics.
Damn straight. He's probably known for
Black Jeopardy. He did recently.
That sketch, my God, one of the best. It was like an amazing sketch. It had a point. It made a really good point, and it was like smartly written. I mean, guys, if you haven't seen the Black Jeopardy sketch, it might be up there with Meet Your Second Wife.
Yeah, yeah, that's one of the best sketches. In
it was really good
that they've done that, and the Black Panther Black Jeopardy sketch is really good too. But I think the one with Tom Hanks playing the Trump supporter.
Yeah, Trump supporter on Black Jeopardy.
Black Jeopardy. That's probably their best one.
I was like, oh, I see what you're... Like, it was weird. Because you thought it would go... I kind of thought it would go one way, but then it went this other way I didn't really see coming. And I like when they do that.
Where I mean, it's great when you can't see the turn, because, I mean, it makes you laugh all the more.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah, because I thought they would be going this way where they're just, like, kind of mocking this Trump supporter and making fun of him. But then they went this other weird way where... It's like, oh, okay. I won't spoil it, but Black Jeopardy with Tom Hanks as a Trump supporter. Watch.
What can skinny women do for you? Not a damn thing.
It's like, all right, Doug,
all right. Look at Doug.
It surprised me. I mean,
like, there are two more Tom Hanks things that I would feel bad if I didn't mention. There was, oh no, wait, I just realized he wasn't in that one. Okay. Never mind that one.
Oh boy,
that was.
Oh, you know what? A sketch I remember really liking, but it's not online anywhere. You can't find
What's that?
It. Do you remember? Came out like 89, 90.
Okay,
it was. No, excuse me. It was the global warming Christmas special.
It sounds familiar, but give me a little more.
All right, so basically, it was this Christmas special called the Global Warming Christmas Special. It was hosted by Carl Sagan. And Dean Martin, Tom Hanks played Dean Martin, Mike Myers played Carl Sagan. It basically was like a regular, like, kind of like a Christmas special you see like on Channel 4.
Okay.
But it had the theme of global warming and how, you know, the Earth is dying. it was weird. It was weird. Like they had like a half melted, snowman, and then they listed off the guests that were on the show. It's like, oh, it's the professor of, earth sciences from such and such university, and Jamie Farr, and like stuff like that. It was weird, and it was so ahead of its time, and like it had, you know, Tom Hanks doing a Dean Martin impression. It was like,
that sounds good.
The earth is getting so hot. Like, it was weird. I think it was ahead of its time, really, because like back then, like, I don't think anybody knew about global warming. A few people did. I definitely didn't.
Early 90s was when they were starting to like really push it with like Earth Day and all that.
Yeah, exactly. And like then, I think on that sketch, who was it? I think it was Phil Hartman played like Isaac Asimov, and he was singing Silver Bells with Jan Hooks, who's some singer who I don't remember who she was playing, but she was wearing like a fur coat, and they were singing Silver Bells. And then Carl Sagan threw red paint on her because she was in a fur coat, because fur is murder. And then,
who was Carl Sagan?
Mike Myers.
Okay, okay.
And who else was on it? I know Dana Carvey came and did his Paul McCartney impression.
And then what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and then the Earth goes away, and then what are you going to do? It's not good for anybody. You know,
what are you
going to flippity floop? And, you know,
yes, that's it. Wow, are you?
I think I remember that moment.
Yeah, you know, it was. That, I mean, that,
I remember Dana doing. Doing Paul McCartney.
And then what do you got?
And I always loved it when Dana did Paul McCartney.
Yeah, I mean, I like that because like, I like Dana Carvey's impressions. But yeah, it was like this whole sketch about, you know, it's a Christmas special with global warming. And like, I thought it was ahead of its time and I really liked it. But you can't find it anywhere. It's not on YouTube. It's not on NBC.
See?
It might be streaming somewhere. You got to look in the crevices of the internet.
Because like, I looked it up. Tom Hanks, he's hosted 9 times. Most recently in 2016 when he did the Black Jeopardy sketch.
Just 9?
Just 9, apparently.
Wow.
I mean, he's made appearances on top of that.
Oh,
so it maybe seems like more than 9, but
I felt like it would have done more.
You know what was what famous sketch was introduced when Tom Hanks was hosting? The Five Timers Club.
Ooh.
The very first time they did the Five Timers Club.
Oh, and that's when Conan O'Brien was giving them the jackets.
Conan O'Brien. Antonio O'Brien. Which is Conan's secret love child with Antonio Banderas.
Ooh, you heard it here first.
But this was when Conan was a writer at SNL, and he played like the doorman, Sean, in the first Five Timers Club
sketch. I remember that. Yeah.
And this was before Conan had a talk show, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
He was just this unknown writer who hadn't even written for The Simpsons yet. He was just an SNL guy.
Right.
They introduced, it was Tom Hanks' fifth time hosting, and they decided, oh, it would be funny if you joined a secret club. And they bring in some other famous SNL hosts like Elliot Gould and Paul Simon and
Steve Martin.
And they had John Goodman or John. God, I'm screwing up names today. John Lovitz, working as a waiter, in there, and it was funny because Lovitz had left the show by that point and was like, Lovitz, you're working here, and he's like, shh, work is work. and that's a classic sketch, and the Five Timers Club has been something they've come back to. On a recurring basis.
Yeah, very much so.
Through the years, which is just kind of a nice thing. I always wonder if Conan gets residuals of some kind.
I don't know. Like, he came up with that whole idea?
That was his sketch, I believe.
Huh. Maybe.
And it just makes me wonder, because if you come up with a concept like that they reuse, because that's a distinctive thing. You think he should get something from the Writers Guild for that. But
he might. I don't know. I don't know how they...
I want to tweet at Conan O'Brien and say, like, hey... Conan, they giving you a little cheddar for rubbing the fingers together for the Five Timers Club.
A little cashola.
They give you some of that sweet Five Timers Club money.
That sweet cheddar, that sweet those greenbacks.
You know
the cash emoji.
Yeah,
as the kids say.
But
Tom Hanks. I mean,
Tom Hanks. Undeniable.
I'm surprised he only did it 9 times. I thought it was way more.
I think it's just like.
Samsonite, I was
where
way
he comes in. What were you thinking? Like 12?
I was thinking. I thought he hit double digits, definitely. Huh.
Well, maybe I'm wrong.
No. I mean, if you got you.
Maybe
you,
I'm wrong. Call if in. You got, yeah. If you think
guys,
I'm wrong,
call
in.
Phone lines call are lighting up. All right. So, yeah, we did it.
That is our list. We got
Tom Hanks, number one.
Let's review. We got Alec Baldwin. We got Tina Fey. We got Justin Timberlake. We got John Goodman. We got Christopher Walken. We got Steve Martin. We got Tom Hanks. Am I leaving anybody else?
No, I think that's
all right. So a lot of crossover in our list.
Yeah, very much
as I was expecting.
Okay, so in consideration, who do you got in consideration?
In my other honorable mentions, let's see. I had Scarlett Johansson. I put a question mark by her name because it was like
she's all right.
Really good. She's in the Five Timers Club.
Oh, that's right.
I think she's always at least solid when she comes on. She's got a little recurring character or two.
Oh. Which one is the Ivanka Trump thing? Or?
Well, there's the Ivanka. There's also the woman like when they were selling the chandeliers of the marble pillars. And she's
right.
Look at
right,
this
right.
one. Look at that one. Look at that. You know, she does have a Long Island accent.
Gotcha.
Very funny. Somebody else I liked. Hand is hovering over the bell.
Oh boy.
But. I always enjoyed it when he hosted. I can't deny it. I don't think he's likely to host again.
Oh, God.
Louis C.K.
Oh! No, I mean, it's... Yeah. It's true. I understand what he's... Yeah, it's true. He's... Yeah. But, yeah. But he was good on the show.
I don't know if he's totally done. I don't know if I see a day where he comes back and hosts again. I don't know if I see him getting back to that state.
I mean, I really don't know if he'll... I don't know.
I don't know if he deserves to. I don't know.
Yeah, it's. I mean, if I really don't. I mean, yeah.
But
I don't want to say. After my last outburst, I'm not going to say.
But I'm not going to lie. I don't.
I loved it
when he hosted. It was a funny show, and I would look forward to him hosting. And I always love it when they have a stand-up host because they always give him a hand mic for the monologue.
Yeah, and then they just let him riff.
Yeah, because usually. Comics are used to holding a mic in their hand.
Yeah, very much so.
I just find it adorable because you know they don't need that.
Yeah,
but it's just like Dumbo's feather. They need that to
to feel like I've done stand up shows without like holding a mic. It feels so weird. Like where?
What would you do with your hands?
I don't know. I just kind of put them at my side. Like I mean, I talk with my hands a lot. Like you know, like
that would screw me up too much.
It's
I've never
weird.
Done a show without holding a mic in my hand.
I think I've only done like once or twice.
Were you wearing like a headset or something? Or
no.
Were you in a small room?
I think I was just yelling.
You were just yelling? Yeah.
I wasn't even booked on a show, actually, when I think about it. There was no show.
That's not a stand-up show. That's you having an episode.
I was just screaming in my room. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, yeah.
There was no audience, now you think about it. Well,
let's see. Who else? I put a couple more people on my... Who else do you have on your honorable
On my mention? Honorable mention, John Hamm, I think.
He was the next name on my list.
What? This is weird.
Well, not the very next name, but he's a name on my list.
Yeah, he's really... He's one... Again, like Alec Baldwin, you find out he's really good at drama and he's really good at comedy,
and
too.
And he's superbly handsome.
Superbly handsome.
You get lost in his eyes.
Sculpted chin and beautiful jaw.
Just
pouty lips.
Very kissable lips.
Yeah, beautiful blue eyes you can get lost in.
God.
Fine backside.
We should hang up some pictures of John Hamm in the studio.
I've been saying that. I'm glad you said that. I got some in my car. I'll just pull
awesome.
It out. I just happen to have one here.
Let's do that.
But yeah, I mean, John Hamm's like that. There was that one sketch I really liked. It was him and Michael Bublé.
Hamm and Bubbly.
Hamm and Bubbly.
Hamm and Bubbly.
Look it up if you haven't
seen. Which was sort of a semi follow up to John Hamm's John Hamm, the ham that you eat in the toilet.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He has ham that's distributed in a roll like a toilet paper roll. And he's like, and always remember, it's the one on the left of the stall, not the one on the right.
In case you want to eat ham in the toilet.
And there's also like a mustard dispenser and a soap dispenser.
Yeah, oh, good.
And then Hamm and Bubbly.
Hamm and Bubbly, even though he says, oh, it's pronounced Bublé.
And when they did one of the animated shorts with the Ambiguously Gay Duo, where they became live action characters, John Hamm plays Ace.
Who else would play him?
I mean,
Marvel, get on this movie immediately.
Yeah, and there's a great Amy Poehler story, which I think it was like the first time that John Hamm was hosting the show. Uh-huh. You'll find this in the Live from New York book.
Ooh.
I'm going to spoil it for you now.
Oh, please do.
But it was Amy Poehler was like pregnant with I think her first child,
uh-huh.
And she was like on the phone with her doctor, and there was something going on. I think she was close to her due date, and there was some thing, and so Amy Poehler is like very wound up.
Yeah.
And very nervous, and she's in a state.
Gotcha, of course. Who wouldn't be?
And John Hamm comes over to her, and he pulls her in close, and he whispers in her ear, and he's like, look, I know you've got a lot going on right now, but this is a very major show for me, so I really need you to get it together. And Amy Poehler said, and from that moment on, I just like love John Hamm, because he was so sweet, and he was so funny, and...
That's hilarious.
And it's like what we were saying. Yeah. You know,
and she knew he was kidding. It wasn't like
it was so over the top. It was obvious that he was kidding.
Gotcha. This ain't like Chevy Chase.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. No. But
yeah, that's
so he's apparently a sweet guy. I mean, he's done comedy with. He was in Bridesmaids. He's been on 30 Rock a few times.
Yeah, yeah. He's done comedy, but I guess it's one of the things where like he was. Of course, he's. You know, Mad Men is the thing that broke him, but once he started doing SNL, and people are like, oh, wow, he's funny, too.
He's supremely handsome, he's a great dramatic actor, and he's funny.
He's got it all.
And he's buddies with Paul Rudd.
What?
They were like buddies in college.
What?
And Paul Rudd, obviously, on my list, too.
What?
Yeah.
How many times?
I don't know. I want to get you even more incredible.
No, that's as far as I go. But how many times have Paul Rudd hosted? Just like once. Or
oh,
twice,
geez, but... I don't have that.
I didn't
research the animal mention. People.
Well, maybe you should have. Gee, this podcast is falling apart. Paul Rudd. You know, it's Rudd. He's likable, awesome.
You got he's as likable as anybody this side of Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
I mean, how can. You know who dislikes Paul Rudd? Horrible people.
That's right. Terrible, bad people who smell terrible.
But, I mean, both those guys, they're always game. They're versatile. They're always funny. They throw themselves into whatever they're doing 100%.
Right. Another name I'll put, I don't see how you feel about this, Emma Stone. I think she's really good.
Very good.
Yeah. Like,
very good host.
Surprise,
I'd love to see her come back.
Again, surprise. Like, there was one of my favorite sketches is the Fisher Price Wells for Sensitive Boys. It was like it was a commercial about how like, you know, how girls play with dolls, boys play with trucks and dragons, toy dragons or whatever boys play with. Mm-hmm. And like, but what about the sensitive boy? What do they play with? And then they had like this kind of this child sized toy well that a sensitive boy can just kind of stare off into and contemplate life and you know, because he's a sensitive this. Child. Yeah. But yeah, but she was. I remember her being really good in that sketch. And
there,
like
there was also
sketch
a sketch.
Well.
I don't remember the name of it. It was like in a French cafe where it was just a dancing thing.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Like it was like Jeté Paris or something. I mean, the name's in French, so
yes.
I can't remember.
Jeté Paris.
Yeah, but it was something along those lines, yeah. And it's just like them having a sort of flirtatious dance off.
Yeah,
she,
like a
she 60... did that. I think maybe twice, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a 50s, like a beatnik
yeah.
type of dance.
Yeah, she's in like the Mary Tyler Moore hip hugger
leggings and whatnot.
Things
and, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Wearing like a striped sweater or something and just, you know, she's, and they're just dancing and.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very good.
She's very funny. She's very good.
I mean, she first broke in Superbad, so we knew she was funny.
That's true, yeah. And, yeah, she's come a long way since Superbad.
Yeah, she's had a hell of a career.
Okay, and
she dated Spider-Man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not the good one, but yeah, she's still dated by Spider-Man.
She dated a Spider-Man, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, we now know that there are all sorts of Spider-Men out there in the
yes.
multiverse, but...
She did, it was, yeah, she didn't date.
But, I mean, I haven't dated a Spider-Man. Have you dated a Spider-Man?
No, I mean, the night's young.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, hey. You know, so my two other honorable men... Oh,
yeah.
I'll say, all right, yeah, two. Okay. All right, I will also say, I'm surprised no one mentioned her, Melissa McCarthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's a huge talent. Like, she goes big in all
yeah,
her scenes.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of, if you see, like, a lot of the sketches she's in, like, a lot of them just, it seems like a lot of them had that thing where it's just like, let Melissa riff.
Yeah.
And she just let yeah. her, you know, the same thing like when Kate McKinnon is on. It's like, mm-hmm. let Kate riff.
Yeah.
And this other person I'll mention, because the last episode we did, like, once I saw them in, I was like, oh, yeah, that person's, how come they don't do it more? Mm-hmm. Matt Damon. I think he's a really strong.
He's good.
He's only done it like twice, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I feel like he should really do it more. Like
I feel like they're probably going to bring him back. I mean, because
yeah.
he did that Kavanaugh at the beginning of the season, and he
right.
came back for Hosting Gig, which I thought was a very good episode. It gave us the Weezer sketch.
It gave us the Weezer sketch.
Which I mean, if we do like a top 10 at the end of the season, like a top 10 of the year,
mm-hmm.
that's going on it.
That sketch hit me where I live. It
yeah.
really. Like
that's.
I mean, I know I said this before, but when Leslie Jones said, "You know, Weez has been dead since Met," like I was like, "God, feel that. I feel
there,
it. I felt like
that sketch has gotten some play." And there was actually a piece on Vulture where they talked to the guys who wrote the sketch, and I don't have their names in front of me now. I
right.
apologize for that, yeah. But it did confirm my suspicion that Leslie Jones does not know anything about
Weez yeah,
in
that's
life.
True.
But they said that she was making they were briefing her on it because mm. she was making a real effort to like understand it and
right.
get it right.
Yeah, yeah. And
for
she,
the sake of the sketch, and she, I mean, I'm not the biggest Leslie Jones fan in the world, but she blew it away in that
yeah,
sketch.
She was
she
phenomenal.
Did what she was supposed to do.
But yeah, I hope Matt Damon comes back on again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he only did it once, but like I think Donald Glover was really strong too.
Donald Glover was really good last year.
I
regret that we weren't doing this podcast last season when he hosted.
That episode.
He was a strong host.
Yeah, and that's when they dropped the "This Is America" video, and mm-hmm. like he performed it live first, and then the video came out,
mm-hmm,
and that
mm-hmm.
was, and then he was just on.
And he did
that stratosphere.
That parody of the song, "I Saw You Standing in the Rain."
Yeah. Oh, we should talk about. Well, I mean, we've probably gone on long, but we'll talk about it another time.
We're going a little long, but.
But yeah, that. Again, that video hit me where that sketch hit me where I live. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
That is very specific to me and my taste.
Yes.
I don't know how you know Saturday Night Live writer, but
you had to explain that a little bit to me because
I did.
I either didn't know about the original song or I'd forgotten it or I at the very least had never seen the video.
Yeah.
So like you had to kind of put it in context for me, like, oh, they're parodying this thing. And I'm
yeah.
like, oh, okay.
It's a very specific song. All right, I guess we'll talk about it now.
Yeah.
But it's like if you've seen the Donald Glover episode, there was one where he did like this 80s guy and they were parodying this 80s video
mm-hmm.
of this song called The Rain by Orrin Juice Jones.
That was his name. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a very specific song that if you didn't grow up in the 80s and you didn't grow up listening to like, you know, urban R&B 80s type of music, you wouldn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause like it was a big hit in like, you know,
Only on like certain charts.
Yeah,
wasn't necessarily a top 40 song.
I think it did well, but like you know, in the urban quote unquote circles, it was like mm-hmm. really you know in the streets where I'm from,
yeah.
in the hood, it was really well known. So
you were sounding whiter by the second.
In
by the
hood, as my peeps say. It was pretty fly. But yeah. So it's one of those things, like, unless you grew up in the 80s listening to that, you know, to that music, you wouldn't know it. So the fact that they made a whole sketch surrounding that one particular song, it's like, all right, this is like for very, like it only,
but
like,
I love it when they get that specific. I love it when they decide to parody something that specific. Like, I mean, kind of like the Weezer sketch a couple weeks ago, where they're making real references. I think when you get that specific, it makes the comedy all the funnier.
Yeah, very much. And it's like, but like a lot of people like the Weezer sketch, but they got it, even though, even if you don't listen to Weezer, you can kind of get it, because you could put like some other band in place of Weezer. Like, oh yeah, this is like the arguments my friends have with, you know, Metallica or whoever.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, you can kind of get the tone of it, but it was, just great sketches. Like, Matt Damon, hope he comes back. Donald Glover, hope he comes back. And one more,
I'll sign off on both of those. I have one more on mine.
Oh yeah, go for it.
My last name and my honorable mentions is The Rock.
I was gonna say
Dwayne
The Rock.
Johnson.
He's
Dwayne Johnson. He is another person, kind of like Christopher Walken, where he came and or Justin Timberlake, where he came on. I wouldn't know what to expect. I'm not particularly a wrestling fan. Sorry, Kevin.
Whoa.
Sorry, Shining Wizards.
Oh boy! Now we're never going to get picked up at it. No,
I know. We weren't going to.
Let's
face it.
We weren't in the running.
But I mean, he came on. He blew it away. He's hosted 5 times.
Ooh, 5 timers.
Yeah, he's in the 5 timers club. I mean, he did, you know, The Rock Obama, where Obama like gets angry at Congress is giving him all this grief, and he turns into like an Incredible Hulk, like, and he turns into The Rock.
Right.
Very funny sketch. He's been Gemma's boyfriend.
Yes,
Cicely Strong's recurring character.
Hi, I'm Gemma.
He did. This was one of his early shows where he played the Scorpion King.
Oh yeah, that's
like
right.
In the Mummy movies, and Seth Meyers was his young son who wanted to go into music. and there was a moment in there where The Rock, I'm just going to call him The Rock for simplicity's
sake.
Yeah,
that's right.
He blows a line. He like misread the word tomb on the keyboard on the cue card.
Right.
But he saved himself really well. He said, like, you know, oh, I took you to the Tom. And he was like, it was the tomb I took you to. It was the tomb. And then, like, a couple minutes later, Seth Meyers says something. And he's like, it was the tomb.
Oh, he called back. See?
He rolled with it like a effing pro.
That's beautiful, man. Yeah. You know,
I mean, and he really showed that he had comedic chops. And I really think that helped him transition into the movie career that he has.
Now he does, like Kevin Hart movies and all that stuff. And
Like, my favorite sketch, I think, of his was, this is only a couple years ago, where it was a group of mad scientists, and they were meeting for the most evil invention.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I can't
remember. And there were some like, oh, my freeze ray will make it winter in July, and my laser will melt anything. And they're all, like, stereotypical mad scientist types.
Right.
And The Rock comes on, he's just very low-key, and he's like, hi guys. I brought on this robot that molests children.
Ooh! Oh yeah!
And all the mad scientists are horrified, and he's just very deadpan, very matter of fact. He's like, well, I mean, the competition was most evil invention, so this is the most evil thing. I mean, am I correct? Do I win the prize?
And all the mad. Oh yeah, and I remember. Yeah, and all the mad scientists like, yeah, I mean, we're evil, but I mean, that's just wrong.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, yeah.
That was great.
That, I mean, that's hilarious, because like, when you think of evil scientists, you think of one thing, but then there's this whole nother evil, which is like a more, I guess, realistic, you know, life evil that people
exactly
need to consider.
And just the juxtaposition of those two, the cartoonish evil with the real life evil, which was, I mean, it was great. And that was a sketch where I feel like his performance really elevated the material. It wouldn't have been as funny if The Rock wasn't giving that performance, or if it had been somebody else in that role.
Yeah, that's very true.
It was really, really funny. And
The Rock is good stuff.
I want to see him come back. And I discovered, doing my research, he was born in 1972. He's born in May of 1972. I was born in August. The Rock is older than me.
What?
I could not believe it. I always assumed that I had a few years on The Rock, but
no, that man's a god. Wow, that's amazing. How does he look? So, he looks, this man's beautiful. How does he look?
I know.
Jeez Louise. Wow. So he's
like
five.
He works out or something.
Huh.
So he is 46 years old. He was going to be 47 in a few months.
That's insane. Actually, that kind of makes sense, because I did see like a photo shoot where he had like a beard. He kind of grew it out. Uh-huh. He had grays and like
yeah.
like salt and pepper in his beard. But he looked very
silver fox.
He looked very distinguished though. Like and all the women on Facebook.
Maybe it's because he shaves the head. And that might be it. To gauge somebody's age once they shave their head.
That might be it.
But my God, he's.
Yeah, The Rock, that's a great choice, man. That's a great...
I want to see him come back, too.
I want
to see him be one of the perennials. I mean, he very much is already, but...
Yeah, another strong, handsome man. First The Rock, then Momoa walks, so... No, The Rock
Jason walked. Momoa, John Cena.
Yes.
Chris Hemsworth, that was the other one you named.
Yes, I was going to say, The Rock walks, so Jason Momoa could run.
Oh.
And then Jason Momoa. Isn't that like some saying or something? Okay, maybe not.
No, I don't know.
Now you're just staring at me blankly. Okay.
Okay.
And on that note.
And that's our
favorite SNL guest host episode. I think
that's
we did
right.
all right.
That's right.
Yeah, so guys, thanks for listening. Thanks. And check us out on the Twitters and the Instawebs.
That's right. What is your Twitter handle?
Sir? I got a Twitter handle. You can find me at Darren Credible, Darian Credible, Instagram, Twitter, and my website, DarrenCredible.com. And find out all my shows and the like on there.
Mm-hmm. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Trumbull Comic. I don't have my own website. I need to do that. I need to like a good central location of all my stuff.
At the very least, you could do like a Tumblr page. That's pretty cool.
I do have a Tumblr page.
Ooh,
a website. It was to showcase my art. Well, does that count? Tumblr count?
Sure. It's on the web. It's a page.
Yeah,
it's a web page.
I guess.
Okay.
Oh, but you know, there is something else I should plug. Something that I did during our break was I did a commentary with my friend Zaki Hassan the Movie Film Podcast. And he and I, we got together, we did a commentary on Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Whoa!
The animated movie that had its 25th anniversary on Christmas Day. It was released on Christmas Day, 1993. So if you go to Zaki's Corner, Zaki's Corner, you can find it there, download it, and listen to it along with the movie.
Far out.
And
awesome. Please, all right, go at that. And guys, don't forget, please rate, review, subscribe to us on Stitcher, iTunes, find us on non-productive.com.
You can contribute to our Patreon on there.
Yes. Give us money. We got to keep these lights on.
Helps. I mean, these problematic bells don't come cheap, you know?
Exactly. We got to do the upkeep. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, we're at hashtag SNL Nerds.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks again to all the other SNL podcasts that follow us and like us and friend us and all that stuff.
We'll talk about that a little more next episode.
Absolutely.
So, but for now, we're going to wind it up. So, good night, and we will see you next week.
Night.
Bye.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.